This episode of Earl Grey is brought to you by Audible.com, offering more than 150,000 titles for iPhone, iPad, and iPod, Android, Kindle, Windows Phone, plus Mac or PC. To get a free audiobook of your choice, visit audibletrial.com/trekfm.
Hi, this is Marina Sirtis, Deanna Troi from Star Trek The Next Generation. You're listening to Trek FM.
Tea, Earl Grey, hot.
It's time for another serving of Earl Grey, our dedicated TNG show. I'm Daniel Prue, sitting in the center chair this week, and joining me as always are my two co-hosts, Darren and Philip. Hey guys, you look kind of the same, but I would say, what, maybe 3 or 4 years younger?
That's exactly right. I am 3-4 years younger. It says so on my name tag.
Yep, I mean, that's at least 2 feet of forehead that now has hair on it.
Yeah. Oh, ooh. Yeah. I haven't had a child yet.
I can almost remember younger. The seating chart of my high school English freshman class. It's coming to me. No, never mind. Still too early.
Okay, well, our intro was what it was. Wasn't really very informative, but guys, what we're going to do is something I thought would be interesting. What is the rage all of these days?
Ruining franchises.
Oh, reboots. Philip. Oh, Philip, you. No, reboots.
Cinematic universes.
Well, that's true. Cinematic universes, yeah.
90s nostalgia.
Yeah, yep, 90s nostalgia.
Power Rangers, MMORPG.
Okay, no. Reboots and reimaginings, which we've kind of already covered a little bit, so that's okay. But prequels are also a thing that are happening now. And, you know, I was thinking, something I had never really thought about before, honestly, what were our favorite characters doing before Encounter at Farpoint? And that got me to thinking, wow, what if we had a season, well, I'm calling it season zero, but I believe it was Philip who mentioned that this would kind of be like the IDW comics. At first they did Countdown, and then they did Countdown to Darkness, I believe, for the two JJ movies. So this would be our Countdown to Farpoint series.
Mm. I smell an episode title.
So, you know, I was, and that just kind of opened the floodgate for me. Honestly, one of my favorite types of shows that we do here are our hypothetical kind of, we make it up as we go along, what's going on kind of shows. And that's what I thought we would do here. So what about you guys? I'm just going to open this little bit up first. Have you ever really, I mean, like, we get tidbits, you know, we know Picard was on the Stargazer, for example, stuff like that. I mean, we know things about these characters prior to their service on the Enterprise, but have you ever thought about what led up to Farpoint? What led up to season one of TNG?
Yeah, I mean, you know, where did Wesley get his first sweater? you know, yeah, because there are little bits that we know, and it's interesting that in year zero we could connect some of those bits, and there's some things we just don't know anything about. Like, for the one thing I'm thinking about. It's alluded to, and I think just alluded to, but that Geordi and Riker serve together on the Hood. So in year zero, we can see the Hood with First Officer Riker and Lieutenant Junior Grade Assistant Technician to the Warp Theorist, Geordi LaForge, working his way up, you know, on the Hood. And then you have sort of, like you said, because Picard and the Stargazer actually happened a while ago, so I don't know what he's doing directly before Farpoint. That'd be interesting to explore.
Just getting out of his court-martial for the loss of the Stargazer, you know, it's... But that's true, that's a good point, Philip, and maybe that kind of explains the gentle ribbing that Riker gives LaForge when we first see them meet. He's like, is this an official report? You lieutenant? And he's like, oh, and internally Geordi's just going, gosh, you always do this, Riker, always, every time on the Hood.
He's a jackass in the Hood.
Reports.
He's a jackass on the Enterprise.
I was going to say, because it doesn't, I just
I can't get off this bridge fast enough, okay? I want to go straight to engineering. Gosh.
I just watched that scene, and it doesn't look like gentle ribbing. It really just looks like Riker's being a dick. And Geordi just has to kind of take it.
I like LaForge has been, like, you know, loathing hell that's been the USS Hood, and he's like, finally, we get to a new ship. Oh, man, okay, who's the new captain? Captain Picard, okay. It's kind of a veteran captain, all right. So if new first officer... Wait, the same first officer I just had? It's like when you're a kid.
I mean, it's a bigger ship. It's just it's the like, same first officer.
It's like when you're a kid and you have your third grade teacher who you hate, and then you go to fourth grade and it turns out she also went to fourth grade.
Oh, like, man.
So basically Riker is like Mr. Belding or Mr. Feeney. Yeah.
You teach college now, Riker? That doesn't even make sense. And
then LaForge the college years.
Mini spin-offs into the, you know, Fuller Enterprise, like, 3 decades later.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, so, you know...
Whatever happened to the warp drive?
Oh, boy, here we go.
Go in warp 9 every day, every day.
Okay.
You know, we gotta sing, Daniel.
I know.
I'm not saying it's good, but... We come up with it on the fly.
Well, because, you know, I'm always melodramatic in imagining movie trailers, because I imagine, like, in the first issue, you actually do start on the Stargazer. So it's like, you know, like 10 years ago or something like that, you know, before Farpoint.
Before Farpoint.
So, okay, I should clarify this. We should. And I want to get your input on this, guys, what you think. Because when I was thinking about this, I'm like, okay. Let's make this hypothetical storyline a reality. Do we want it to actually be a comic like Countdown? Do we want it to be an actual prequel show just for a season or whatever? Or do we want it to be like, and do we want it to cover literally just right before Farpoint? Or can we cover, like, because like you said, Philip, the Stargazer was a chunk of time before this, and you know, Jack Crusher's death, which is something we'll bring up, happened a good maybe 10 years before this. So do we want to be able to cover all of those events, or do we want to stick this hypothetical season zero just right before Farpoint?
I think we could almost do both, where I like the comic idea because it fits, you know, like a 10-year previous comic, because then you can kind of jump around and you could have this issue's about Worf and this issue's... I mean, that makes more sense that you'd be jumping around because everyone's in different locations and they don't know each other yet. Well, except for okay. Riker and Geordi. And then leading up to the special television, you know, winter special or whatever, that is the kickoff to Farpoint or something. And maybe you don't even need that, but... I kind of like the 10-year negative 10 to year zero of leading up to Farpoint, and like single issue comics that cover each one. Like, it's like the set, you know, and you can, if you flip over on the back, it has a, like a mosaic picture. When you put it all together, you have like the bridge and they're all standing and each one has their own, you know, comic. Exactly. No, Tapestry. It's even better. But that's how I kind of picture it, you know, instead of just year zero, because we don't, I mean, we could make it where a lot of stuff happens in season zero, but that would only really take like, what, a year or not very much. It seems more engaging to go farther back.
Okay, so maybe like we'll do the comic idea with 10 or however many issues.
Well, look, I think because fans are, you know, they're looking at Star Trek Stream and we've seen them animated, but we haven't seen them in comic form enough. So we want to do every medium for the TNG.
That's true. Okay. So like 10 issues or something. And then what each issue focuses on one person and their road to Farpoint.
Or like maybe two people, but one, yeah.
Or two people, yeah, whatever.
There are no roads in space, Daniel, but I see where you're going.
It, like, you could have the Hood one, and that one could have Riker and Geordi. And then, you know, it's interesting because there are these little, again, nuggets that we could do of when Picard met different people. Like sometime, like, Picard met Geordi, and like Geordi was his pilot or something, and he noticed something, and Picard's like, that young man.
We pick out all those little bits that we've actually been told of in the past, but there's still a lot that we could fill in.
Because then Picard met Yar one time?
Yar.
Or something? Yep. Yeah, that'd be a good
But he hadn't met
issue.
Riker. We know that.
Right.
He hadn't met Riker or Data.
Right.
Right.
Those are the only two actual introductions that we see of Picard. So we could theoretically
And he could have maybe not O'Brien. I mean, there's other secondary characters we're not specifically
That's the Cardassian War issue.
It's just a red cover with like the Cardassian Union symbol on
it. It's O'Brien with a phaser in one hand, shooting one way, and Yar with a phaser in the other, shooting the other. It's the O'Brien Yar issue.
They were war buddies, and they never speak of it ever again.
We did things that night. We'll never talk about it again.
It never happened, Miles.
But actually, you know what? That's actually a really interesting idea, and we can pick up on this and run with it, or drop it altogether. But I kind of like the idea of the Cardassian War, something we never really hear about. Obviously, we joke about that here on Earl Grey, but that could be the thread, the kind of the connection of all of these different stories. Oh, the Stargazer was off doing this during the Cardassian War. So was the Hood. So was the Potemkin and all of these other things, like all of these other ships and all of these. How did that war affect these people? And then ultimately they all come together. That would be interesting.
And Utopia Planitia is just like trying to crank out the Enterprise D. They're like, come on, guys, we got to get it finished. The war's over. Yeah. Dang. Okay.
But like you said, Daniel, I think there are some mysteries that we have zero information, like Data, Beverly, you know.
Well, let's fill it in.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
All right, okay.
All right, let's access our theoretical.
Here we go. Yeah, let's start with
query.
Let's start
Data
going
origin?
By characters here. So Picard, who we know probably the most about, I would imagine, right? What do we know about Picard, guys? Let's do a little recap. We know he was on the Stargazer. We know that he had some encounters with the Cardassians and with the Ferengi, and then lost
Lieutenant Crusher.
Even though he didn't know it was the Ferengi, because
he didn't know it was the Ferengi at the time, right? But he lost the Stargazer. He was then court-martialed, and then Jack was on the ship, and he knew Beverly that time.
Mm-hmm. We actually know quite a bit.
We do, yeah. We know the most of him.
Get a little more hair.
But what are we missing? What do we want to know about? Is there anything in there that you'd like to kind of see filled in?
I think it'd be interesting if Picard's comic really focused on his court-martial, because Picard's really good in the courtroom, like the Drumhead and Measure of a Man and stuff like that. And even though we know he's going to get out of it, like he's going to be reinstated as a captain and it's just a formality. One, we get Philippa Lavoie coming back. Lavoie. I saw Philip. He's like, oh, Philip. And so, which is a great character that everyone, you know, who is as smart would love. But, so that would be my vote, to focus on that. And it's a moment in time, but we don't exactly know how that's going to play out, how his relationship with her is going to develop. And, you know, again, like most prequels, we know he's not going to get like thrown in a Cardassian prison or something, but we can still build tension in that scene.
And what you can do with that story, it could be like a storytelling device. So like it starts maybe in the courtroom, and then the courtroom will flash back to different things that happen on the Stargazer. And not only is he dueling with Philippa as the prosecutor, but Beverly is there because, you know, Jack's dead. And it hasn't probably been that long. And so maybe he's counseling her or she's counseling him, you know, as, you know.
Well, it's not like they would have waited a long time to do the court-martial after the incident. Like, right. It's probably right away.
Well, I don't know if Jack died during the Ferengi incident or not, because we really don't know anything about how that happened.
Oh, that's true. I mean, it's kind of implied that it's like through the Battle of Maxia is what causes Jack's death. At least I felt.
Mm. Yeah, actually, I kind of like the idea of Beverly and Philippa tension going on. Because
I see the cover now with like their two heads like locked eyes to each other.
And the thing is,
Picard
too, like we don't
trial.
Even have to we don't even have to retcon why they didn't know each other in Measure of a Man, because Beverly wasn't around in Measure of a Man. So, although Now I'm literally re-retconning in my head, like, man, I wish she was like, oh, what happened to that that redheaded doctor of yours? You know, whatever. But anyways.
And Wesley's probably like 3. He's like really young.
Yeah, he could carry
him. Would be,
you know.
But it would be interesting. One gap that I would like to know is between that. It's not a court martial, right? We're saying the wrong word, I feel like.
No, you're right. It was a court martial.
It is a court martial? Okay.
Yeah. Inquiry or court martial?
Inquiry, yeah. Okay.
It's so, just not like, you know, we're going to discharge you. It's just like, we need to look into this because a starship is gone.
Right.
You know.
So it would be nice to see. Yeah, you're right. It's like, he wasn't necessarily like trouble.
Starfleet said, I don't know if it was that episode, Measure of a Man, that said that, and I don't know if I'm making, I could just be making this up, but like, anytime a ship is lost, there's a mandatory court-martial for the captain.
Yeah, they say that.
Yeah. So, but it would be interesting just to see what the process was between that, once that finished, and then how Picard ended up with the flagship of the fleet. I mean, all we know is that he was captain of the Stargazer for 20 odd years. So it would be just interesting to see like how
maybe he's
there, you know,
maybe
he's
thinking of like hanging up his pips.
Yeah, so in the Stargazer Memory Alpha page, it says, as the loss of the Stargazer was a court martial offense, Picard was court martialed for the loss of the Stargazer. God, who wrote this? Zealously prosecuted by Philip Beauvoir. In the end, he was absolved of all charges.
Yeah, and because I think you could have this whole thing of maybe even Picard feels like defeated, like, you know, oh, I lost my ship and maybe some crew and maybe I don't want to fight it. But Beverly tries to buck him up. At the same time, they talk a lot about Jack. Maybe there's some flashbacks to Jack on the Stargazer as they recount times. And then at the end, maybe Picard's thinking of just hanging it up and going back to France or something. And it's because it's just his brother there. And maybe his father's ill or something, or I don't know. And you know, what does Picard do next? Because I don't know the answer to that. At the end of the issue, what does Picard do once he's absolved of all the charges? Because he doesn't get the Enterprise for many years.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on when you'd want to end it. I mean, I guess
unless he starts to go Nick Fury style, I need to assemble a crew.
Then
that's the rest of the series run is Picard just popping up every issue.
Who would convince Picard to take the Enterprise? I don't know. I'll have to think about that.
Boothby.
Oh, that would be good. That's a good idea. Yeah.
Although, does Picard say he hasn't seen him since like his academy days?
Yeah, that's true. Anyways, that's okay. We have a basic framework. We don't have to get bogged down by details. We're just kind of basically just trying to kind of formulate some story that we would like to see. And I think that would actually be a pretty interesting way to go about it. So we're going to move on.
And he pops up. Picard just pops up every issue and says, are you interested in the Enterprise project?
So we'll move on to Riker, who we know probably the second most about. He moved from we know of 3 separate ships that Riker was a part of. We know he was on the Pegasus, and we know the most about the Pegasus. We know that he was at some point on Beta Z, which isn't a ship, but he was stationed on Beta Z. Then he moved to the Potemkin, and then he was on the Hood. So we know quite a bit about Riker's history. I'm kind of interested in what you guys might think to fill in the gaps. Honestly, I'm tempted to say let's cover his service on Beta Z, so that we can kind of get a cross thing going on with Troy as well.
Oh, yeah, that's true, because she would be... We know at least she lines up being on Beta Z at the time when Riker's on Beta Z.
She could never say goodbye either.
And then you know, you have that drama of when Riker decides, I guess I'm going to just leave you behind because I got promoted, and now I'm going to go off and leave. You know, you could kind of maybe start there for both of their stories and pick off and see where they go from there.
And you can always double back with Riker. Like, maybe this is a Riker and Troy story or a Riker story. And then like 3 issues later, it can be on the Hood and it's maybe more of a Geordi story, but Riker's also there or something.
Sure. So is there any part of Riker's backstory that you guys are, we'd get quite a bit of Pegasus. I mean, he gets a whole episode devoted to just that. And really we get a whole episode devoted to, the results of the Potemkin stuff as well.
Well, it'd be interesting if showing him going from yellow to red.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. Maybe, so we know he was in yellow in the Potemkin, because that's where Lieutenant Riker, you know, went to beam down to, what planet was that? Nirvala 4. There we go. No, I did not pull that out of my head. I do have the memory open, but yeah, that would be interesting. Maybe like a change of view or something, like some sort of episode, quirky title like that.
Yep, that works.
And
and it could be, you know what? It really could be. You could kind of weave it into that storyline already. Like he was quote unquote so close to being left behind on that planet that he reevaluated his life.
Right. We see that moment.
Yeah, and that could be where technically Thomas became William and that kind of a thing. So then you can kind of see the genesis of both of those separate characters.
And the choice he made to put career in front of relationship.
Right.
Well, we know that after that it's a very important part in his life, because he gets promoted. That's right where he gets promoted after the transporter incident to lieutenant commander, and shortly after that he's first officer. So right around then,
young lieutenant commander who he hired as first officer.
Exactly. So he's, you know, that's probably when he shifted to red, and you know, he got his, you know, he's all probably dirtied up and, you know, out of beaming out, and he just kind of goes into his quarters, and then he just takes his sonic shower and he comes out and he's like red. He's like, psh, I'm ready.
You are now.
Maybe
Red
it wasn't
Ranger.
Quite that fast, but yeah.
Like, I mean, like, imagine, like,
he's looking at his closet, all his yellow uniform. He's like, it's time for a change, and then shoves them all in the replicator, pushes the button, presto.
No, this is that's too new technology, Darren. That's not for a couple more.
That's
years.
How it would happen. I'm telling you.
But I mean, like, imagine
the Starfleet seamstresses down on deck 5 or whatever are working
this
on.
This is pre holodeck times, Darren.
You remember in Menage a Trois when they're almost pulling a Star Wars 2 Attack of the Clones frolic through the meadow kind of scene, you know, and Riker's got his exposed chest shirt on and all of that. Like, I feel like you start at that place, and then Riker and Deanna have this conversation.
So does this lead to start Star Wars 3?
so this is where chosen
one, number one.
So
you're the chosen number one.
So that's where the start of both of their stories is. And you see that story and that conversation played out through Riker's eyes and his story, and then Deanna's eyes and her story. And then obviously it goes in very different directions. Riker leaves and goes on the Potemkin, and then Troy stays and does what she does, which we can pick later. But yeah, that would be interesting.
I don't even know at this time. Is she in Starfleet? Is she just a counselor? Is she just chilling on Beta Zed? And does her mother show up?
Yeah, her mom has to show up, I feel like. Oh, that's what I was going to say. Sorry, I'm going to go back just a second here and say, imagine you're reading this comic and you see Riker in yellow and it looks like, oh, this is Thomas Riker. No. This is William Riker before he turns red.
No, and like he actually has a little bit of a beard.
Riker
and
in red. Yeah,
I was like, I don't think it's working for you. And he shaves it off.
I've never kissed you with a beard. That's a lie. We have lots of footage to prove that.
Okay. So now we're going to do a little bit of freestyle in here, guys. We know almost nothing about what happens to Data. We know Data is like...
We know a little bit.
A little bit. I say almost.
I mean, he has that honorary rank.
That's not honorary. He went to the academy like everyone else.
But he was in Starfleet for what? Almost 30 years up to that point, right? And he served on, oh boy, hang on, I have it written down somewhere that I didn't even know what I wrote. he served on a ship. But no, it's not important to his backstory. But I mean, what would you guys like to see? I would like to see why he doesn't know simple human phrases by the point of the Enterprise D.
Query, Snoop.
Well, yeah, that's a good point. It's like, what is his posting before the Enterprise D?
I mean,
or do we want to go back to his discovery? the planet.
Why did he join Starfleet?
Where the Starfleet, like, see that moment.
Well, because
where the Starfleet
rescued him, Philip. Geez, don't you know anything?
So you
I was sitting over there.
You chose to emulate your emancipators.
Interesting.
Would that be interesting to see, like, his discovery and then, you know, he could technically start, sorry.
I'm just thinking of those kids drawing the crystalline entity.
Yeah. No, just Memory Alpha just kicked on an ad out of nowhere and just like blasted in my ears. And I'm like, what the? Dang it, Memory Alpha. But I totally blew my train of thought. But so we see, well, they're all dead by this point.
I know. I was just thinking of that.
But draw faster.
No, you can show like the Starfleet crew that are like, what the crap?
Yeah. You know, that would actually be interesting, though. And maybe we could tie that together somehow with somebody else. Although nobody...
Like someone else? Yeah, who else would have been on the ship?
I feel like there has to be someone. Like, you know, Odo had that Bajoran doctor with him. Right. Someone had to sit down with Data when he was discovered. It wasn't just like, oh, we discovered an android. You can join
Commander
Starfleet.
Maddox.
Oh.
Why not?
Well, because I think Commander Maddox would have been like... 12 at that point.
No. Didn't they have a pre-established relationship?
I think Commander Maddox was the one of the few who said he shouldn't be admitted into Starfleet when he was going for...
Really? Yeah. But he would have been so young. I don't remember that.
He was a full commander by measure of a man, Daniel. He outranked Data.
But the man, by measure of a man, that guy is like 35. On the young end, he's like 35 years old.
Look, and we're surgery and plastic surgery in the 21st century. Okay. That man could be 85 for all you know.
If we did like a whole Commander Maddox Data storyline, that would be cool. I don't think he would have been a part of the group that rescued him.
No, I agree.
That's true.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. If we want to do like a,
you can always do
this
like,
is where
like the same issue doesn't have to cover like the same time. You can jump a little bit, like
we can do flashbacks.
You know, like there's in as comics would there's like strategically placed things because I'm sure Data's naked. You know,
it would be like a Commander Maddox, like Commander's log, and he'd be like, when Data was first discovered, and then you would see Data, and then they assembled him, blah 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 blah, and then when I first met him, blah 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 blah.
Well, let's see. Okay, let's do the math. So, Data was discovered in 2338.
Omicron Theta.
And when does the Enterprise D launch?
You would think three guys that do a TNG podcast would know that. Yeah, me neither. Although that's not a star date. That's actually a real world date. But
that's an actual year.
It's 1987.
nice.
September.
See, that's the thing. Is it just after the crystalline energy destroyed the colony, his connection with Starfleet resulted in his choice to enter Starfleet Academy, but it doesn't say, like, that year.
Well, he does say which class he is in Farpoint.
78, he says, which is there's been a lot of retconning about that.
I was going to say, that doesn't make any sense because it's after the Enterprise-D is launched. Yeah. I just wrote it down on a sticky note. It's canon.
Some people think he is saying of 78 people. There was some weird retconning going on with that. So that's actually kind of... Either way, let's just...
Doesn't matter.
Eschew all the established dates, and we will do this. I have this idea. Let's have Commander Maddox... narrate, quote-unquote, narrate the... What did you say?
If we're going back in time, you have to reduce him in rank.
Oh, sure. Lieutenant Maddox or whatever. Ensign Maddox. Let's have him... Let's see Data's story through his eyes.
Okay.
Since he has a vested interest in Data, you can start the issue with kind of like a narration of like, oh, Data was discovered this year. This is how it was.
Like he's teaching a class or something.
Right,
or he comes up to a superior and he goes, "It wants to apply for the academy."
Oh,
and
perfect, just, like, perfect, yeah.
And that like launches it off, and everyone's just like, "Oh, here we go!" And we see, you know, not Data's trial of getting in the academy, but yeah, I really like that idea of
how do you
from Maddox's
point of view. How do you pronounce his name?
Data? That doesn't even make sense. He doesn't have a last name. And Starfleet regulations say,
So then it all culminates in the scene when Data comes up to the Federation Council, the Starfleet Council, and he says, he looks at them and he says, interesting. Intriguing. No, I don't know.
He looks at them and says, I will do neither.
One is my name. The other is not.
Live long and prosper.
Yeah. My memory pathways will gladly divulge and dispel your sensory engrams into my deletion port. It's like, what did he just say? I think he's ready to forget us. Oh, okay.
The subprogram subroutine I have written for our relationship will now be deleted.
I've now saved.
Also at the very end of the issue, he goes through an ion storm or whatever, and he has to delete all of his vocabulary subroutines, and that's why he doesn't seem to know.
Oh,
he
has to hook himself up to the computer, you know, a series of tubes.
But I like that in focusing on very early Data, like entering into Starfleet Academy, you know. We could see maybe like we see Maddox's initial rejection of him, but then we see him actually get in, but Maddox is still like hounding on him. So we see a bit of his first classes and some of those, you know,
we can't assign him to a
pranks
starship
and stuff. Yeah. And then we're done. We just see this moment and, you know, and then the fans will be clamoring for more comics of later Data.
Yeah, because, I mean, you'll have to end him. Because, I mean, being second officer of the flagship is a pretty huge deal. And so it'll be interesting to see.
Well, 26 years, possibly. Well, no. I mean, didn't we just say, depending on Maddox's age, like probably like half of that. But still, well, like 12 years.
Well, we know. We do know he was in for 20 plus years. I mean, we know that for sure. There's no doubt about that.
Maddox just looks really good for his age.
Yeah, I don't know how you reckon reconcile
those
two things.
Blue shirt life isn't that strenuous. You don't really age that much. It's a lot of sitting.
It's
inside.
The red shirts that really age.
Commander Darren was 84.
So. Not the same age as Picard.
No, I wasn't. Oh wait.
Okay, so let's move on a little bit here, and to someone we know literally nothing about.
Worf.
At least prior to the Enterprise. And that's Lieutenant Junior Grade Worf. So we know through the histories of TNG and Deep Space Nine, right? It kind of gets muddled a little bit, actually. I'm a little upset that Deep Space Nine muddled the waters a little bit when he was supposed to be on Earth for a long time. Then he was on a colony. Then he went back to Earth. Whichever, that doesn't matter. We're not going to focus on that. But he gets into Starfleet, and then we don't know. We have no idea. We don't know what his first ship was. His you know, Lieutenant Junior Grade, could the Enterprise be his first commission? I don't think so, right? He would have had to have done something
before
this.
It would be interesting why he chose a red shirt, because like you would think, because he wasn't security. He was a red shirt. Security's yellow. So.
Well, but he wants command. I mean, that makes sense.
So, maybe. But what you could do, I mean, what would... Again, because we don't know a lot about this period of his life, I mean, we're not necessarily missing any gaps in his story, but, I mean, do you think there's an opportunity there for something?
Does he fight in the Cardassian War?
Him fighting in the Cardassian War would be cool, right?
So you're saying we focus him more towards the Enterprise D launch edge of the spectrum, and we're seeing what led directly to him going to the Enterprise D, rather than more origin, Worf... You know, maybe the Battle of what was it? That was
O'Brien though. Yeah,
I'm thinking of the planet that the Romulans betrayed.
Oh, Kittimer.
Oh well, yeah, but he was a baby, so that doesn't. I mean, that doesn't at that point. That's
only if we were doing the 2009 reboot.
Oh yeah,
yeah. No,
that's
no,
right.
No.
That's right. I always kept feeling that Worf was there at Kittimer, but I guess not. Right.
He was with his nanny on the Klingon homeworld.
Right.
So, with Kern.
Baby Kern.
So, I don't know. None of us, I don't think, have any really big ideas for this, but we're not writers either. So, hey, writers, get on this.
Well, there's no like connections of where we can kind of force backstories, but Worf doesn't necessarily have any Well, no, wait, guys, we do. We do. Kalar.
Oh. Susie Plaxton.
The Kalar backstory. No. How did they meet?
Did they not meet in TNG? They knew each
yes,
other when they first
course.
Met?
Oh, yeah. Old girlfriend.
He's like,
an old
you're basically
story.
My wife.
Wait a minute.
You need to watch Emissary again.
Yeah, they totally knew each other before.
Wow,
like,
I do need to watch
history.
Sorry. I do need to watch Emissary. I'm going to watch it again tonight.
Not the Emissary, but Emissary. Now, oh, wait. Actually, I forget which one's which.
Wow. I do. I guess I completely forgot that. But that is a good. If that's. That's
because,
good.
I mean, that would be. I mean, you know, not that we haven't got the Worf struggles with Klingon heritage story before, but anyway, we would see it from again. Because I think. In this time of his life, it's not Worf like, oh, maybe I should leave Starfleet. Because he's just starting his career. So I feel like he's engaged right. in Starfleet. But it's maybe, how do I be a Klingon in Starfleet? Instead of, you know, kind of growing out of it, as we see more in TNG and DS9 of whatever you want to define that.
Well, and I kind of get the feeling that he had one of those Thomas Riker choices where he chose his career in Starfleet over her. I kind of get that vibe when they're talking. Like, I mean, she's got her career too. She's like, what, an ambassador and such, but.
Or diplomatic. Yeah, you know, yeah.
Yeah, diplomatic, you know, travels around and torpedo probes and, you know, the only way to fly. But yeah, I would like a Kalar meeting or at least like, or the Kalar breakup. It's like the breakup edition.
If you think Klingon dating. Is violent. Wait till the Klingon breakup.
All right,
what does
okay,
that
I like
will
that.
Look like?
It's takes 8 days and
this is a breakup, but it has no place in my life now.
I did it via pad.
There is no honor in this breakup.
Did you break all up right, to me right. over subspace?
Okay, I like that. All right. That is something that I can get
because
on.
They because yeah on the holodeck they mentioned something around like you know you left or you shouldn't have left or they definitely had a history.
Great, that's
we fantastic. Will write that history sometime
in this story.
Yeah,
and then it just ends with her. You know, I always liked the name Alexander.
Oh gosh, but she's not pregnant at this time.
Yeah, we're not. Never. No.
That doesn't happen until the next time they meet.
But let's talk about three characters all at once, and we're going to talk about the Crusher family.
Okay.
And I'm not sure how... I like the idea of the Cardassian War being the backdrop for this whole comic series. Something else I think would be interesting is maybe to connect Jack Crusher to everyone in some way. Maybe Jack Crusher knew everybody, or at least encountered everybody... You know, before his untimely demise.
Are you saying he was murdered, Daniel?
I'm just saying, you know. Maybe he was...
So he was a Klingon specialist / positronic brain designer / engineer...
He knew too much.
...and career path advocate?
No, you're right. It was
on a medical ship?
It was a stupid ship. Idea, actually.
No, I'm just...
No, actually, I was
my
just
head
thinking,
around it.
I was thinking about it in my mind. It actually was kind of a dumb idea, but I would like to get the full Jack Crusher story.
Yeah, no, definitely. Like maybe that's the limited special edition comic. It's like the Jack Crusher, you know, limited release.
Holographic cover. No. What I'm thinking,
yeah, it shimmers and it's like that scene where he's meeting Wesley.
What I'm thinking is that you frame the Wesley / a Beverly story as a Jack Crusher story.
I agree.
So it's a Crusher thing. And
he's the one we want to know more of.
Right, because he's really the... And that's a huge story that, you know, that we get like little bits and snippets of.
Actually, I want to know the lost year. The lost year of Beverly Crusher. What happened at Starfleet Medical?
It's not a prequel, Darren.
Fine. Okay, we'll do.
Well, you know what?
Crusher and
that could
awesome
be a whole
Commando
show.
Exploits.
We should do that show.
Lost Beverly Year.
It's like the medical drama spinoff of Star Trek. It's
it didn't work out, and so she had to come back.
But
no, like Commando Jack Crusher on the Stargazer in the bloody Cardassian War, like that could be awesome.
Was Jack Crusher wearing
yes.
the maroon?
Yes.
He was wearing the maroon without the collar.
I was just thinking about that.
Like the Enterprise C time, where they wore the maroon, right. but they didn't wear the big puffy collar.
Yeah, you're right. But anyways, it would be
interesting. Pre-Morgan Bateson crashing into the Enterprise time.
So how many years before, there may be a canon answer to this, I don't know. But how many years before TNG do we switch from the maroons to the jumpsuit?
I feel like we've already had this discussion.
Right. Okay, all right. You remember, what was the episode where there was a flashback to Picard bringing home the body? What uniform was he wearing?
He was wearing the maroon.
Okay. He was wearing the maroons as well. Yep. Mm-hmm.
And he had hair.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Okay, anyways, that's kind of a trivial detail. But anyways, yeah, I would love to see that story, the Jack Crusher story, through Jack Crusher's eyes, and then kind of revolve.
Well, we know Thomas Riker was in the yellow. So yes. That was a couple years before Encounter.
Yep.
Not a lot, but just a few.
I wonder if that's the latest, or the earliest, I guess you would say. Is that the earliest that we see the TNG uniform?
I feel like it is.
Well, okay, I'm looking at... It's got to be the 2350s, because everything prior to the 2350s is like the crazy engineering, comm, security, services, Federation forces, all like different colors, which must be the collars. And then after that, it's just operations gold going forward. So 2350 is when it shifted from the maroon jacket to the one piece.
Okay, so that's 14 years before the Enterprise launches. Mm-hmm. Before
we actually have an issue. I don't know which character that actually has the costume.
Data had a monster maroon at some point.
Oh wow! Actually, you know, I'm going to look that up and see if anybody's photoshopped
his cadet uniform.
But not even that. Like I think he was probably on a ship at some point at that time. But that would be awesome.
That's interesting. That is interesting. Anyways, we're getting a little sidetracked here, but
I'm just amazed I found that information so quickly. But yeah,
so the Crusher episode is going to be a Jack. The Crusher issue is going to be a Jack issue, and it's going
family
to be told through his
reunion.
Eyes. And we are at the end of the episode, at the end of the issue, he's going to record his little thing for Wesley.
Gosh, tearjerker right there. On this newfangled holodeck technology.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
Oh, that's true. It could be like a new experimental.
I'll be right back.
Well, it'd just probably just be like a simple like booth or like recorder thing that just it doesn't record your background or anything.
It was just one of those pro cams.
Yeah. All right, who's next after the Crusher special?
We haven't
edition?
Done Yar and O'Brien.
Nope. Hang on, guys.
Or did we even really talk about Troy, or did we kind of skip that?
No, we didn't. We didn't talk about Troy and Geordi, actually. We're missing here. So
yeah,
let's do Geordi.
We got a lot.
So let's start moving a little faster here. We'll talk about Troy. I don't know. Is there anything really that could tie her to this whole thing? Maybe her first meeting with Captain Picard? Because they seem to know each other pretty well, even in an Encounter.
Right. Because, I mean, that's true. You know, I feel like, I don't know. What do you think? Because I'm trying to remember when the counselor concept was introduced to Starfleet. Because I don't know if it's new or not. But anyway, I don't know how Picard react. Because this is almost a culture shock for him being on the Enterprise D. I mean, not that he has a big, powerful ship necessarily, even though the Stargazer was not a big, powerful ship. This is a big experience. He has a big, powerful ship. He has families. He has counselors. It's not just a stripped-down, small crew. And so it'd be interesting how he would react to having Counselor Troy. I mean, not just her specifically, but in general, you know, do I feel comfortable having this person who's going to sort of be my, you know, advice giver, counselor? Does he react positively or negatively, or what's that work like?
Well, it says that she graduated from the Academy majoring in psychology. So
she had the honorary rank, right?
And then that's when she was stationed on Beta Zed. And then he got promoted to lieutenant commander and then made his career type priority. And
yeah, I think that would actually be a really interesting story because, I mean, it's not a huge component of TNG, but I don't know. I've always felt like there is kind of a special relationship between Picard and Troy. You know, and it would be kind of cool to see the origin of that we don't really get to see. Maybe this is why he trusts her. Maybe there is something that happens.
Maybe she helps him with crew assignments.
Yeah. Who knows? Or maybe. Yeah. No. Yeah. I guess that would make sense.
I almost feel like her story might needs to be close to the end.
Maybe she recommends Commander William.
Although Picard did say already had his own thoughts of why.
No, yeah, no, it's true.
Maybe she made sure his pad was on top.
Oops.
Because remember, Picard was like, I was just at the end of the day, one more boring letter of recommendation. And she's like, Captain, Okay. Maybe you should take one last look.
I'm feeling something strong about that one pad.
Great. No, because if I picture her, what was the Johnny Carson, you know, like she puts like the pad to her head. I'm thinking.
Of course, pad contains every person. So she just scrolls through to, you know, the proper.
No,
name
and, like, Darren, every her. Application is one pad. There's like,
gosh,
50
no.
Pads. I'm gonna
get back into this.
She comes in carrying a pile of pads.
If only there was a way. Well, she had to, you know,
no,
you turn the doorknob, right, to get
unit guys. Let's not be ridiculous. She's like, full of pads.
Well, you know, maybe that makes sense because it contains their entire record, which is so much data, it can only fit on one.
And remember,
pad.
This is early, you know, so this is, you know. Technology still forming.
What, they have like the little memory tapes, you know, from.
You know.
Working.
Working.
Remember.
William T. Riker.
Remember in Counter Farpoint when the computer voice was telling Riker where to go? That was new technology, so.
Yeah, it was. But okay. So that would be at least an interesting kind of thread we could pick up. You know, we kind of have to keep moving here to
and
get
what
through
is
the
she
whole
wearing? Thing. Is she wearing the scant in this issue?
I would say she's wearing something closer to what her mother wears. These big, extravagant dresses. And maybe... No, I don't know. I'm
sure.
Just saying.
No, that's fine.
Okay.
When you're off time.
But, all right, let's do Geordi. Is there anything in Geordi's past that we really want to know about? Now, we don't know a whole lot about his past either, but we do know about his parents. And maybe
that's
they
right.
could factor in some interesting way.
Yeah.
And a sister. But really his parents in
it's what, the Hera?
Well, that was his mom's
yep.
ship.
She's on.
At yeah. one time.
And then his dad's
a blue
like
shirt.
On a starbase or something.
He's a blue
like.
Shirt of some sort, I forget what.
Yeah. Forgotten in the annals of history as most blue shirts are, but no. Well, could we do we want to do something more
cameo? He has to have his cameo with Captain Picard.
Oh, that's right, the whole story. I was thinking if we wanted to have the very, very beginning of the episode almost like the fire that remember when he talks about when he's a little kid?
Yeah, but I mean, he was a kid at that
I know
point.
That doesn't really have anything to do anything, but it's been interesting to see.
Well, I don't know how you make this a whole
story. Maybe he's getting the visor 2.0, and it's like the old one looks kind of, it's like more silver, and it looks different, and then he's getting the...
completely different.
And that's like the moment... Yeah. That he's getting like an upgrade because the technology's gotten better, and they're like, "Yeah, we're hoping to add like broadcast modules to this one, and blah blah blah, and we're one step closer." And you know,
it could be the first time he's heard the speech that Beverly gives him in Encounter at Farpoint. Remember, he's like, "Blah blah blah," and it enables me. Yet. But remember, that's causing him pain the entire time, so
right.
he could be having to deal with it.
The title of the comics, "Always in Pain." I need my pain.
I need my pain. Okay. All right.
But yeah, maybe, yeah, just focusing on
something on the hood.
Maybe we see him being in the command track, but we see little tiny hints of engineering. Like maybe he likes doing his own diagnostics on his visor or something. Or like we see him take apart the engine of the shuttle for Picard, and like these little things where we see that that's going to blossom into him getting that position. But right now he's like, oh no, I'm on the command track. You know, I want to fly the ship.
It's just like, I'd just be happy piloting a ship for the rest of my career.
Yeah.
I don't see me ever getting above lieutenant. Only jerks get lieutenant commander.
Yeah. I've known a couple in my day.
I'm always going to be fun-loving, best guy in the room.
One William T. Hi, sir. Welcome back from the hood.
That guy.
Yeah, no, that's a good idea. I do like the idea.
He's going to be a joker in this issue. He's going to be telling jokes left and right.
I do like the ending is his shuttle experience with Picard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who think anything's nothing of the experience. Just like, da-da-da-da.
Because
and
really,
then Picard, when he's like stepping out of the shuttle at the very end, he's like, thank you, Mr. LaForge. And then he kind of like, you can tell he's making a mental note of like remembering.
Yeah. Idea here of all of these stories is what gets these characters to the place that we know them? What gets them essentially to encounter?
And then the last line is Captain Picard says, I think I'm going to owe Captain DeSoto two favors.
There you go. That would be pretty cool. Yeah. All right, so let's do... thank you.
Did you really write down Groppler Zorn on this list?
I was just kidding.
This is before he achieved Groppler rank.
He was only a Soplar. He wasn't a Groppler.
What fruit did he like before he got to apples? No. Let's talk about
the jellyfish. What were they doing?
Let's talk about Yar, and we get the Yar Picard introduction sequence in All Good Things, but
true.
Well, no, I mean that's just piloting. That's not how they met.
Right, that's my point. Yeah, so I shouldn't say introduction, but we also have this anecdote that's told in the episode Legacy.
In the story, I'm trying to think: did they actually meet, or Picard just saw her? Because, like, I feel like in All Good Things flashback, they, like, Yar's like, this is the first time I'm meeting Captain Picard. But I feel like maybe Picard's... Well, what's the story?
That's right, because she's like, is this normal for Captain Picard to say these crazy orders? Like, she doesn't...
But I feel like Picard
kind
knew
of get,
her from something she did. Like, did he see her fight or something like that? I can't remember.
I think, yeah, when he does talk about, like, it not maybe not that mission or that episode, but there's other episodes where he's talking about, you know, yeah, like that moment of, oh, when I saw her do that, I wanted her for my chief of security or something. I don't know. All captains have a running list of who they want for their next command.
Their fantasy draft.
Yeah, she had a fantasy draft. I'll trade you one Riker for two. Who gets the first pick? Is there a big Starfleet ceremony? It's like today's and this year's first pick goes to Admiral DeSoto.
Well, we're in the midst of March Madness here, so it's, you know, everyone has their brackets, but every Starfleet captain has their bridge crew bracket.
That would actually be really fun to see, but I'd kind of want to see more of Yar, like in Starfleet, just like being in Starfleet
and
she'd be great in the Cardassian War.
I mean,
personally, I'm a little tired of the, all the flashbacks we see of her past, all the time we see it. Like, it's great. I get how your character is forming, but I want to see the middle.
And
that's what we don't see.
During one of her Cardassian missions, she goes on Bajor where she meets up with this feisty young Bajoran rebel.
Oh, there you go. With Kira Nerys? Or were you meaning Rolaren?
I was thinking Kira.
Okay, good.
Now, Ro is in Starfleet, depending on how far we go back.
That Galandan Core thing hasn't happened yet.
Unless it has.
Galandan Core.
Yeah. Galandan Core.
I just love the way that...
it's so fun to say.
I love that one. It's so awesome. Okay, all right.
Do you think? What do you think, Daniel? Where would you place Yara's story?
You know, I don't want to go so far. I don't want to see a comic of rape gangs. I will say that.
Does she meet
I think
crew member O'Brien?
You know, it would be cool to see her interact with people from the future that we...
Stop playing with those tools.
Yeah.
That we don't get to see or interact with.
And
so, you know, she is in the same room as O'Brien, of course, a few times. But so that would be cool. That would be fine. Maybe seeing like a little background between, maybe her and Worf do know each other. I don't know. It's never like excluded.
Unfortunately, she's not on the show long enough for us to really
right.
know
it's,
much
it's
about
it's never her. Excluded in any way. It's never, you know, you could kind of put a background there.
I kind of like Phillips, you know, have her have a bigger part in the Cardassian War and maybe make that a Yar/O'Brien episode or comic, and really, or maybe a two-parter where they're kind of both in each other's, like they have a little bit of overlap at the end of Yar's into O'Brien's.
Maybe he's getting off of that ship he was on.
Because I think we've kind of established, you know, that with O'Brien, you know, it's going to be the Cardassian War.
Or maybe after their mission, I was going to say after this mission, O'Brien gets assigned to...
Captain Maxwell I should know this. I love this episode.
Rutledge. I didn't even look that up. I just knew it.
Dang it, that's Maxwell Forrest. Gosh, there's too many Maxwells in Starfleet now. I can't.
To the max.
Max. Oh, man, that would be awesome.
Okay, yeah, so... And that's O'Brien, and we see him with Captain Maxwell, which would be awesome.
I mean, I can see...
They obviously fought side by side in the Cardassian War. We know that.
I mean, I can just see, like fan teases of, like, during the war with Miles and Yar, and they're in the battle, and, like, she almost gets killed but doesn't, and O'Brien, or like... You know, all these things. It's like we knew she'll die eventually, but like all these little things happen where she like, oh, she almost gets killed, but then either someone pulls her out or something, or she saves Miles or Miles saves her. And she's like, wow, thanks for saving me. I'd hate to have died here on some rock here.
A meaningless death.
All right. Okay. So we've covered most of the important people here at this point. And you know, we've even covered some of the not important people, but
what about Guinan?
You know, I was just thinking Guinan too, but Guinan can't interact
that
much.
Or she like the watcher throughout the series.
She could.
She's in one panel in every comic. You have to find her.
She could be, but you know, so the entire idea of this comic, of this idea, is to set up TNG. You know, we are the sequel series to TOS, but of course TOS had been going on 30 years prior, and the movies obviously didn't really deal with any of the TNG stuff, and TNG did get to set up Deep Space Nine and Voyager. And I was also thinking, like, man, what would it have been like if we got to soft launch from another ship or something like that, like they did with TNG. So I don't know. Is there any other like thread that we're missing? Is there anything else that you would like to kind of see to complete this story? I can't. Of course, we did get Generations, but that's at the end of our story, you know, towards the end at least.
What about Mott's story, guys?
You know, we joke. There's Mott and there's Guinan. We have a whole lot of characters that we don't know the origins of. I mean, we didn't really know the origins of half the crew on the Enterprise.
What's Sparkly doing during the Cardassian War?
Right? What is he doing?
Hiding, I know that. But where is he?
Where is he hiding?
Is there anything else? Like, for example, I'll say this. Something that would be really cool to see is Leah Brahms. And that whole engineering team.
Utopia Planitia with the building of the...
All of that would be super cool.
The Utopia Planitia comic would be really cool.
I mean, Ensign Sisko would be there.
But it would be cool to see that. Like, to me, that's where I'd like it to go with that, just to kind of flush out that kind of... of thing of like, by the way, the Enterprise D is, by the way, the most advanced ship in the fleet. It's the most impressive feat of engineering up until that point. this is a significant ship. This is important, and I wouldn't want to shortchange that. The Enterprise could have its entire own comic.
Birth of the Enterprise. Yeah.
Right? Leia's like, I'm sure you'll be using this Captain Jot a lot.
And the USS Galaxy Cruisers all like, aw, like we were first. It's like,
that's well, okay. You're not even going to make it past the first season. Don't worry about it. but is there anything else that like that? Like, that's where my mind first goes. But do you guys, is there anything that you would kind of like to see? Why? How did this fall into place that these things happened? Or what set up TNG as we know it that we don't get to see, like the Enterprise see? For example, you know, that we that maybe you'd be interested in kind of seeing.
When do the dolphins come aboard?
Maybe Leia chooses him and puts in the captain's ready room, so he doesn't even have a choice. He's just there.
Fish on a starship. Now,
yeah, Commander Flipper.
Number one,
we would need Commander Flipper.
When it comes to fish, I can be a bit of an ass.
Riker, don't let me make myself an ass in front of fish.
I never remember to feed them. They always go belly up, so you need to take care of this one. What do you mean the computer can take care of that? Okay.
All right.
Mr. Data, I have an assignment for you.
It explains, like, when you suddenly rewatch TNG, you just see Data going into the ready room every three episodes. Like, that's what he's doing. Oh,
we thought he was. Yeah, we thought he was leaving to go through that turbo lift, but actually,
Livingston.
All right. Well, season zero of TNG, guys, is not the only thing we've been talking about on Trek FM this week. So here's a listen at what else you may have missed on the other shows here on the network.
Previously on Trek.fm, Standard Orbit.
You've heard Chief Trip sign on. I'm serious, Ken. Actually, out of the chair, please.
Okay. God.
I guess the Commodore has the con.
To the journey! All right, next one is from Damian Haywood. And, Damian, come on. Which Voyager crew member would you hate to be stuck in the Delta Flyer with? He's always so negative. I called him on this the other day. I said, Damian, why always with the negativity? He said, at least I'm consistent. The 602 Club.
We start getting hints of Thor. We start getting hints of Cap. We start getting hints of the entire Avengers crew. And we get Black Widow. So, I mean, Iron Man 2, considering how maybe that's not my favorite movie of the MCU, really does set up a lot of what is to come.
Literary Treks.
You know, visually, to me, this is one of my favorite eras of Star Trek. You know, those monster maroon coats they're wearing, and they're just absolutely gorgeous. And, you know, a lot of people talked about wanting to get a Captain Sulu Star Trek series, and one of the big reasons for me that would be so great is to see this era played out visually on a regular basis.
Women at Warp.
Her voice as a computer voice has become so iconic that when Google started developing what is now known as Google Now, that personal assistant you can speak to, they had initially codenamed it Google Majel.
That's so cool.
Isn't that awesome?
Meta Trex.
And I kind of had the jingle in my head, you can be a winner at the game
yes.
of life. And I was trying to think of the Star Trek version of that. You know, you can be a winner of the poker game of life on the Enterprise. It didn't really roll off the tongue, so.
It was great until you added on the Enterprise.
Melodic Treks.
The reason why I think Brian Reitzel would be a more plausible choice is because he has worked with Fuller in the past. They worked together on Hannibal. He scored that series, all 39 episodes. The neat thing about Brian Reitzel's music is it's more of a sound design than it is a score.
Saturday Morning Trek.
One of the characters is sizably larger than the other. So
he's just closer to the camera, Aaron, obviously.
But he's actually behind the other person.
He's a giant.
Wait, then he doesn't need a laser cutter. He can just lift the hatch up with it. Go down and get it.
Okay. Continuing mission.
Yeah, and of course, another great thing is when it's all finished and you look at it and go, yeah, we made that together. Yeah, that's one of the greatest moments. And people respond to it and say, oh, that's pretty well made. The effects are great. The actors are great, even though they're Dutch trying to speak English, right?
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
So check out these shows to get in on the daily Trek talk. You'll find them in iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, the Windows Podcast Directory for Xbox and Zune. Visit the Trek.fm website for the full Trek experience. You can view our podcast directory to stream the audio from all of our shows. If you would like to contact us, just go to trek.fm/contact. From there, choose Message to a Trek FM Show and select Earl Grey. These messages will be relayed by Starfleet to the three of us. In social media, you'll find us on facebook.com/trekfm or join our Facebook listener discussion group called the Babel Conference. Find it by searching the Babel Conference on Facebook. Now let's take a moment to talk about our sponsor this week, audible.com. Audible is a great way for you to read all the books you've always wanted to read but never thought you'd have time for. This is the premier source for audiobooks with more than 150,000 titles to choose from and new titles coming every week. From classics to current bestsellers and even some of the most famous Star Trek books like Prime Directive, Federation, and Spock's World, Audible has something for everyone. Now, as a Trek FM listener, you can get a free audiobook of your choice along with a 30-day trial to see just how great Audible is. So give it a try today. Catch up on all those classic Star Trek books you've yet to read. Just go to audibletrial.com/trekfm and sign up today. Again, that's audibletrial.com/trekfm, and we thank Audible for supporting Earl Grey and Trek FM. There's one more way you can directly help us to keep Earl Grey coming to you each and every week, and that's through becoming a patron of Trek FM. By visiting patreon.com/trekfm, you can choose among various pledge levels and receive rewards for becoming a Trek FM patron. These rewards let you inside the observation lounge of our network and make it possible for us to distribute all our great content. So please become a patron and visit patreon.com/trekfm today.
All right, Philip, if people wanted to find out how you got to North Carolina, please tell them where they can find you.
Well, it involves some things I can't talk about because it involves biology and two people who were in love. But they can reach me on Twitter. My handle is proudly NC Public Servant. That's NC for North Carolina origins. I am a Tar Heel born, a Tar Heel bred, and when I die, I'll be a Tar Heel dead.
I don't know what that means. Okay, Darren.
The minstrel Philip to the war. That's kind of good.
Darren, you also are at this point very close, at least, at the very least, very close to having two children. There's a very interesting backstory there. People want to know what happened. How can they get a hold of you?
Well, they can find me on Twitter under username Dr. Sci-Fi. That's DrSciFi, where I like talking about science fiction and how I wish many of the technologies that would help in child-rearing had actually come to pass.
And can you be heard somewhere else every 2 weeks?
And they can also add Once Upon a Fortnight on the Half Pass.
What was that?
That's a new timekeeping term.
Oh my god, what was that?
What's the Fortnite on a half pass? Funny. That means every other week. Duh. What? It's a California thing. But I can't look at you, Dan.
I don't even know what you said. I don't even know if they were words.
No, they were definitely not words, and they definitely didn't make sense. Okay. But yes, right. Every other week, they can find me on Saturday Morning Trek with my co-host Aaron Harvey as we talk about Star Trek the Animated Series, the 70s, and a lot of things I just don't remember. But they can find that here on Trek FM.
Great. And if people want to find out, what it was like before it had an extra life, they can get a hold of me on Twitter at OneUpDan. That is the number one, not the word. All right, guys, I'm going to go back to, I think, Darjeeling tea before Earl Grey was ever even a thing.
Yeah.
So maybe we'll catch you guys next week. Engage.
Make it so.
Fortnite on a half.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Fire.